blackest night. No evil shall escape my sight. Cowabunga.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, inmates of all ages. This is Heroes Asylum. Thank you for downloading and listening. We are the podcast that puts the bam pow into comic book news. I can't do this without my trusty companion, my Superman to my Batman, or vice versa. Thanatos Kane, how you doing today, brother?
I think you meant the other way around.
I did, yeah. That's why I switched
around. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Yeah, you kind of fucked up there for a second there, sir. So I had to correct it.
God forbid we
fuck up on
here. I had to
jump in and make the save.
God forbid never, we fuck up
ever,
on this one.
Huh? Never cross the screen.
So,
never. Oh, no, no.
No, we never
no.
cross streams. Anyway. So how never you been doing, man? Good weekend?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Yeah, well, you know, I've been in a little bit of pain.
Yeah, I heard.
Just trying to get over the pain. I had a little issue with my back. So, I've been just kind of like bedridden slightly. And went to get a hydro massage the other day on a recommendation from a friend of ours. And kind of cleared it up a little bit. And some good medication, which is, you know, the poppy pain pills. And just been reading a lot, catching up. And got a lot of stuff to go over. A lot of stuff to go over.
Bet you those pain pills. Those pain.
In the, you know.
I bet you those pain pills really help the comic book reads, make them more fun, don't they?
Oh yeah, they add something to it. A little bit of depth.
Yeah.
That all pain, right. That grittiness that Batman goes through when he's on the rooftop. Feeling that pain. Let's rock and roll, man. Let's get it.
All right. Very good. So we're going to go ahead, folks. This weekend was just a standard weekend. I did pop over to see Mount Dora's steampunk festival with one of our friends who's a steampunk aficionado. And I did that, picked up a random comic book. So I thought maybe we'll go ahead and maybe next week I'll be able to sit down and read it and do a steampunk comic book review. So we'll get to that. But we're going to go ahead and jump right
into steampunk.
Yes, steamy. So we'll go ahead and jump right into the admissions ward for the news.
For the admissions ward.
All right. So, you know, I think I'm going to start off with a quick note of something we didn't cover. And as we were like popping on and getting ready to start doing this, it just popped in my head that last week, actually, somebody that is a, you know, kind of a, I guess, a icon to both of us, influence in a way, Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes actually got their handprints at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood. So the geekdom has actually made it to the Hollywood mainstream to get your hand and feet put in the cement at the Chinese Theater. I always want to call it the Grauman's Chinese Theater, but I think it's owned by somebody else now.
Yeah, I think it is. It's what is it, the Bank of America Chinese Theater now? Because everything has like a bank name to it now. So it's,
it's so weird because I live right next to where my man's Chinese Theater is. There's a road right next to it. I think it's Orange Avenue that runs right next to it. My apartment was right there. So when I would open up my gate in the morning to leave, to go to work or school, man's Chinese parking lot was right there. So it's always kind of cool to hear news from back in the Hollywood days.
Back at home, man. Back on the home front, the old stomping grounds.
The old stomping grounds. But yeah, so they were able to get their handprint put in, obviously in recognition for the movie coming out, the reboot, Jay of Silent Bob reboot. But also, I mean, I think just a nod to his contributions to everything. I mean, he's not just touched movies. He's touched comic books. He's touched television with the Comic Book Men series. And he's been everywhere. And I thought it was kind of touching, I guess, when he went out there, he made a comment. He was inducted by Ben Affleck and his daughter, Harley Quinn Smith. And they were one of the things that Kevin was saying. He's like, my dad brought us out here as kids, to Hollywood. And he's like, we were here one day. And he's like, imagine one day you could possibly be here doing this. And so what he did is his dad passed away years ago. He brought the urn. And not only is Kevin Smith's handprint and feet print in there, but the urn's imprint, like the base of the urn, is imprinted in.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I thought that was pretty cool. So I thought
that's a little touch.
Yeah, I thought leading off with that, a happy moment because we have lately been starting off with some
a lot of misery. Yeah.
So I thought a good up would be good. A geek boy from New Jersey makes good in Hollywood story.
Jersey, one of my people. Yeah, Kevin and Jason in there. Well deserved. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of processes that go to getting your handprints done on the Chinese or the Grams Chinese Theater. I mean, it's not just you know, they elect you. There's like a little, I believe they're gonna have some kind of backing to get that done. But I'm glad Kevin and Jason got on there. It's good, you know, especially nowadays with the geek community, you know, being celebrated or in some cases being under fire by the older community. I guess we'll talk about that later.
That one just
It's good to see him up there. It's well deserved. You know, I've seen worse people on there, so you know, two of the good guys get on there.
Yeah, hopefully they get put next to R2-D2 and C-3PO's handprints. I think that'd be cool if they can get somehow in there. That was my bit of like starting off news. I'm gonna go ahead and turn this over to you, man. What do you got for your first bit of news?
I got bad news. Lots of bad news this week. Actually, tons of bad news. But I guess I'm gonna begin with a twofer. Paul Dano and Zoe Kravitz have been cast in Matt Reeves' Batman, which is coming out in 2021. Respectively, Zoe's going to be playing Catwoman, a.k.a. Selina Kyle. And Paul Dano will be playing the Riddler, a.k.a. Edward Nigma, coming to the big screen. So I guess this is, from what I'm thinking, Matt had a plan to introduce a lot of his Batman's rogues in here. I think with the exception of the Joker, I don't think the Joker's going to be in there, unless, you know, I could be wrong. But Dano and Kravitz are solid actors, very solid. Dano was in a movie called Prisoner, if you haven't got a chance to check that out, with Hugh Jackman. Really dark, depressing movie, but he was great in that. And Zoe has been in tons of stuff. She was in X-Men First Class, played one of the first mutants. So, and she was also in a movie called Dope, which she's really, and that's not just because she's dope. She's really in a movie called Dope, and solid performance there. So, you know, Matt's gathering these eclectic actors for the Batman, along with Robert Pattinson. So it's interesting to see that he's added like two of these, you know, very young up and coming actors now.
Yeah, I was kind of happy to see that. The only thing I'm kind of not sure on, I don't know if you read this. This one was from the Hollywood Reporter. They actually reported that he will not be Edward Nigma. His name will be Edward Nashton. So I'm not exactly sure why they're choosing to change a name, but that's something different. He still will play the Riddler character, just not Nigma, which I kind of takes away from the whole tease of the name.
why? That's just,
yeah. I know. I said the same thing too. I'm like, what? What? Okay. If you feel it's necessary, I mean, it's not like we're gonna call.
Yeah, it's not like you're gonna call him Nigma. I don't know.
I don't know if they just didn't want the cheesy pun that, you know, we've all kind of come to, you know, love.
But anyway, I don't want to get into it. But I guess Edward Masterson. So just, it's the Riddler. They're not gonna be calling, hey, Mr. Masterson, what's going on, buddy? You know, grab us a sandwich. You know, wanna go hang out for a beer? I don't know if my Boston accent came out there. I don't know. It's my bad. But those two are included. And I guess more casting calls are going to be happening before the end of the year. They still haven't cast Alfred yet. So I'm wondering if they're – I guess they're not going to bring Jeremy Irons back, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, that would be –
you know, good old Uncle Scar.
He did a good job on Alfred.
Yeah, and that's the one tragic thing about Batfleck leaving is you're never going to see those two guys on screen again, because I thought they had really good chemistry together.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. BVS and Justice League. They had that cool dichotomy that had been, you know, actually in almost every Batman incarnation in the films, the Alfred character has always been pretty solid. So, you know, it's a shame we're going to lose Michael Caine. I'm sorry. He's another great Alfred. But Jeremy Irons, but I guess he'll be cast towards the end of the year, I'm thinking. So hopefully
we'll hear something before the year's up and get a full cast, or at least close to a full cast. News I have is actually from the sci-fi world. And I'm not all on board with this, but, you know, we got to kind of report on this one. A Variety reports that Neil Patrick Harris has been an addition to the cast of Matrix 4. We do know that Matrix 4 has cast Keanu Reeves. Carrie Ann Moss will reprise their roles. No word from Lawrence Fishburne just yet. I'm going to butcher the hell out of this name. I do apologize. Yat Abdul-Mateen II, supposedly supposed to be playing a younger version of Morpheus. And then Lana Wachowski is on board to write direct. She will helm the script written by her, Alexander Heyman, and David Mitchell. So, and they're expecting production to start next year.
Mm.
Not to me. I don't. There's certain movies that, you know what, they end at the perfect time, or the kind of the perfect way, especially after the reactions to the second and third Matrix. I thought the ending of this of the third Matrix was perfect. Just let it go. They tried to do something a little bit different with it, and the movies themselves fell flat. I think just ending it there. You don't need to do a sequel. Just let it die. Let it go. That's why I'm not full on board with this. I know I'm a Matrix fan too. I used to play the Matrix Online game. This is one I don't see a reason to continue. There's no reason at all. And if it is going to continue to maybe do the new incarnation of the one, don't recast everybody. Have a new cast. If you really are in the need to do that, then do a whole new cast.
Strange that Lana Wachowski and her, I guess her brother, is not going to be involved in this at all.
No, I looked that up. Yeah, which I thought was shocking too. I was like, well, where's he at? And it's just Lana.
You know, when I read the news that you just when I read about Barney Stinson being cast in Matrix 4, because that's basically what he's going to be. I hope he's Barney Stinson in Matrix 4, and he just starts hitting on Trinity and all the women in the Matrix. That'd be great. You know, he's the only guy wearing a suit.
Yeah, so when he plugs into the Matrix, he's suiting up.
Yeah, he's suiting up.
Let's suit up.
Yeah, what's up, Neo? Hey, what's going on, man? You know, we got to head down to the pub and stuff like that. Who is this guy? But I mean, he's a good actor. I mean, besides all the bullshit, he's a Tony Award winning actor. He's solid. I mean, I just don't see him.
Go ahead.
Just an odd kind of fit for him being in the Matrix. I mean, unless he's going to play his character from Starship Troopers, I don't know. Maybe something along those lines.
Well, he's been a pretty open actor. I mean, if you actually look at his material and his resume, I mean, he doesn't play the same character every time. Although I think the two characters that were kind of as the same was Barney and the character he played himself in Harold and Kumar. That movie trilogy. Oh, I mean, those were great.
He was great in those movies. Oh, if you haven't watched the Harold and Kumar trilogy, watch the first one. The first one I think is the best out of three, but the other two are not that bad. So just give it a listen, give it a watch. It's actually, one of them is a Christmas movie too. So.
Yeah, I was gonna say even the Christmas music movie is pretty fun.
Yeah, they have a little scene where they get animated. So
that's always a good one. All right, so what do you have next, sir?
Well, apparently Jared Leto is leaving the role of the Joker, and I guess it's by his choice, according to the CBR. I guess it's comicbooknews.com, I believe it's called. Jared Leto's time as a Joker will be over, which to me is kind of like you saw the writing on the wall, I think, especially with Joaquin's Joker doing so well. By the way, this weekend the box office, it passed Justice League, which is unfathomable, saying that a Joker solo film passed Justice League movie. It just goes to show that how good the Joker movie was and how bad the Justice League movie was.
It's also also unthinkable to actually say that there was a Justice League movie and a Joker movie. If you really think about it, saying this.
The Joker movie and a Justice League movie. But his time is over, I guess, as the Joker, which I think is kind of unfortunate, Mike. I thought that for what he was given, he did a good job. I just wish I could have seen more. Like, the scenes between him and Margot Robbie in Suicide Squad, I thought were great. That's the Joker and the Harley relationship that I want. His Joker was a little bit different, which, you know, that was fine, but I wish he had more to do. Like, the biggest mistake of that movie, I felt, was not having the Joker as the main antagonist. They should have had basically Suicide Squad trying to chase him instead of, you know, the Oogie Boogie Enchantress. But just sucks, you know, that he's not going to get that chance again, because it looks like he's on his way out the door.
Well, I pretty much figured he's out the door anyways. I mean, once this Joker got cast, to me, this sounds like old news. I mean, other than them just putting a flag in it and going, okay, he's done. Because, I mean, really, once Joaquin was cast and Alito wasn't cast into Suicide Squad, I figured that's it. You know, he's done there. But yeah, I'm on board with you. I thought it was a good character. I think they needed more time with him. To me personally, you were talking about the times with him and Harley. I think the time when they were in the strip club, and him and that other gangster guy were having their talk.
Oh yeah,
that to me was pure Joker right there. That's that back and forth. Like, am I messing with you? Am I not messing with you? Am I giving you to? That whole thing is the mind game is Joker to me. And I just, and also I know a lot of people were upset about the look, and I'm like, the Joker at this moment in this movie was a millennial. Really? What's a Joker millennial going to look like? We've never seen that version except there, and you know, because even Joaquin Phoenix, that's a 70s, late 70s, early 80s Joker. We've always seen older style Jokers. What would a Joker look like if he came up now? Was influenced by pulp culture and the music. That's what he would look like. He'd have a fucking grill. I mean,
yeah. I didn't mind the look. He looked like a soccer hooligan, but it was okay. I dug it for what it was. And, you know, his look was fine. I just wish he had more to do. Like, I think we've discussed this before. They, DC released the animated, I think it was a Suicide Squad movie, a couple years ago. And the premise of that movie had the Joker as the main antagonist, and I thought it was great, and it had just enough Batman in it. It basically, Batman was barely in the movie. Barely in the movie. I think he was in the beginning, a little bit of the middle, and then in the end. You know, there's like a, you know, a surprise, you know, little spoilers thing that happens with Batman towards the end, but I'll let you guys see it. But I wish they kind of took some elements from that movie, made it like that instead of making it the basic music video that it was. Because if you look at the Suicide Squad movie, it's basically a gigantic ad for MTV in the mid-80s music videos. That's basically what it was.
Yeah, true.
Or an intro to a video game when they had like the stats like, my name is Deadshot, I have killed blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what? Like Suicide Squad, the cast as a whole was solid. It's just like the execution, the way they made it so, it just seemed kind of cheap. But yeah, so I guess he's leaving, and I guess this opens the door for Joaquin possibly coming into the DCEU. I don't know.
I hope not. I just move on to another Joker.
I hope not either. Yeah, I would just get somebody else. I mean, at this point, you know, Joaquin is a one and done, and just find somebody else.
Yeah, because I mean, you're delving more into like with what Joaquin was doing was much more. I know this word's been going around in the news lately because of some directors, and we can kind of jump into that actually. But Joaquin's version is more cinematic, not action and comic book. Which I mean, I'm okay with the cinematic side of it, but at the same time, we're comic book fans and we want to see the big explosions. We want to see the madcap adventures. We want to see not exactly what's in the books, but close to it translated up on the big screen. And like I said, and there's so many different worlds. You know, you have the Elseworlds, you have different Joker books, you have the different Batman books. You do have your very cinematic characters, very dark, brooding. You know, Dark Knight Returns is not the Batman we know when we pick up a book. You know, on a weekly basis, that's not the same guy. That's a guy completely removed, but he's got scars and emotions, and that's the cinematic. You know, that a lot of people are talking about seeing. And I guess
you could keep making these off-world type of movies. We talked about this before. Like this could be like, you know, a separate division of DC movies. You know, you have your other world building and, you know, the main DC universe, and then you have this kind of like Black Label. Like Black Label's coming out next year for DC, where they're dropping these new titles with Constantine, I guess, is leading the way. You could do that in the movie section, like have this separate entity where you can make all these stories. Like I've talked to you before about Batman by Gaslight. Wouldn't that be kind of cool seeing him fight, you know, Jack the Ripper on screen?
I mean, personally, no. For you, yeah. I don't want to.
I know you.
I'm happy with the animated movie. That was awesome. I don't want to see it live. I just don't think it would translate well live with the time period piece, you know. Now, Red Sun, yes. That would be kind of fun.
That would be really cool. Especially in today's political environment. You released that movie?
Ooh, boy. Yeah, exactly.
You could have some fun. You could have some fun with that.
Yeah. So, but speaking of the cinematic comments of the comic book movie, you know, genre now, Mr. Francis Ford Coppola has now come out and spoken out with his friend Martin Scorsese about the, what's the term he uses? He calls it. What did he say? Goodness, where did it go? He called it depraved, I believe it was. No, that's not the right wording he used. But Scorsese feels that it's this in the same route as that it's not cinema. It doesn't pick up cinema style. And I'm like, I just, again, it's, to me, you always make the comment about it, and I dislike it when you say it, but I never really try to argue too much with it. But the old Hollywood, you know, about being old Hollywood, and I think old Hollywood's dead except for directors like this. And what most people forget is Scorsese, Spielberg, Lucas, Coppola. When these guys all came together, a lot of these guys came from the same schools. A lot of these guys were from the film school in L.A., and they knew each other. And when they started making their movies, old Hollywood disliked them for their style and for how their movies were being made. Now here they are, the old gentlemen, you know, the old guards of cinema, and they're taking their shots at it. Despicable is the wording that Scorsese used about it, that he feels it's despicable, it's invading. He doesn't feel it's cinema. The quote that was made that he said was about watching a movie or going to cinema and expecting to gain something, some enlightenment, some knowledge, some inspiration, is what the 80-year-old director said. And I don't know if he's actually gone in and watched these movies, if he hasn't seen the inspiration.
Well, neither of them have. They both said it. Neither one of them has seen any of these movies. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, Scorsese has never seen any of them, and neither has Coppola. So yeah. It's just like, you know, and it hurts too, because they have made some of my favorite films, yeah, you know, Goodfellas, The Godfather. I mean, come on. And basically, they're just poo-pooing on this because, you know, their movies are being, you know, either not being made, or some of the studios are saying, hey, man, you know, Marty, you know, Francis, I don't think we want to make this $150 gangster movie. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And I want to read you something right now that I think is going to put this all in perspective. This was dropped by James Gunn on his Instagram. This is James Gunn, okay? Many of our grandfathers thought all gangster movies were the same, often calling them despicable. Some of our great-grandfathers, although the same, loved the same Westerns and believed the films of John Ford, Sam Pellick, Sergio Leone were all exactly the same. I remember a great-uncle to whom I was raving about Star Wars. He responded by saying, I saw that when it was called 2001, and boy, it was boring. Superheroes are simply today's gangsters, cowboys, and outer space adventures. Some superhero films are awful. Some are beautiful, like Westerns and gangster movies. And before that, just movies. Not everyone will be able to appreciate them, even some geniuses, and that's okay.
Yep, that's it.
And that's it. That's basically what James Gunn's dropped on his Instagram. Classy, to the point, mm-hmm. Not crapping on anything, not crapping on Coppola, just basically saying, hey, it's a new genre.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's part of Westerns. It's part of, you know, space movies. It's just part of a genre now. That's all it is. And to poo-poo on it, especially Scorsese, when he was the one that brought Warner Brothers the idea to make the Joker, which I find unfathomable, yeah. And he's going to crap on it. It just, to me, it just sounds like a lot of sour grapes to me.
It is, and I think it's a generational thing. You know, we're having our moments too with certain things that are happening musically. I know with me, music, I'm like, man, I just don't get it. I don't like it. I'm not into it. I'm not going to crap on it. I give it a shot. I know myself. I know, don't like it. I'll move on. And I think, you know, the fact of artists, they call themselves artists back when they first started, you know, they weren't part of that white coat, part of the Hollywood system of, you know, if you're hired by Universal, you work for only Universal. You have a bungalow on Universal Studios. All you do is crank out shit, you know, Monday through Friday for Universal. These guys were new. They were fresh. They were part of that 60s movement of free, you know, free enterprise and free love. And, you know, everything's just, let's be open minded about what we're doing. And like you just, you know, like what Gunn said and what you had just quoted, you know, just that the older ones back then were like, who are you guys? That's crap. That's not real cinema. You have to do how we do it. And like I said, the same thing goes for us. You know, there's certain comic books and certain things I don't like. I know it's not me. It's a generational thing. Somebody, the younger generation, likes certain characters. Not into them. I'll read it.
Yeah.
I'll check it out. Hey, okay, that's your thing. Have fun.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing with music, and it's like everything, and TV as well. It's like, okay, just not my thing. And that's all you got to say. It's just not my thing. But to poo-poo the whole thing, it's just like...
Yeah, to just do the whole... Just, yeah,
that's easy, because it's easy to shit on anybody. It's very simple. It's like Twitter. It's like Instagram. When you see somebody post a picture of somebody, you know, and they feel good about themselves, you're going to say, oh, well, you're fat. Oh, you're too skinny. It's so easy to be negative.
And that actually, the fact you said that they didn't, that they hadn't watched it, that puts even more of a distaste in my mouth about what their comments are, that they just didn't even bother looking.
And the thing about it is, these are smart guys.
Very, yes.
And very intelligent men. They're not stupid. I mean, you can't get where they are by being dumb. They know stuff. You know, they've studied film. They know the art of film. For them to just come out and say, oh, well, these superhero movies are garbage. They're amusement park movies. They're trash. How do you know if you've never seen them?
Yeah, that's...
The Winter Soldier in itself is a spy espionage thriller, taking it back to the days of the Condor with Robert Redford. I mean, basically that's all the MCU did. They cherry picked from old genres and put them in their own films. And a real film, you know, enthusiast would understand that by just watching these films. Just to poo poo on it, it's just, to me, it's just very sour grapes and very bitter.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of the same way with that second movie with Captain America, the Winter Soldier. At first, I didn't want to see it. I didn't go to see it in the movie theater. I was actually one of the few I didn't see in the theater. I was just like, I don't know. But when I actually sat down and watched it, neither did I.
Oh, really? I'm the same way.
I was like, wow, okay, this is actually really good. Now I'm upset that I didn't get to see it on the big screen and really enjoy a cinema movie.
Because that's basically, if you look at it, it's basically like a 70s spy thriller.
Yeah,
they
really
took the Winter Soldier story and twisted it and changed it in a way that, like, oh man, this is like a movie that could have been made in the 70s. And honestly, it could have. It really could have if you watched that film.
Yeah, so, exactly. Oh, well, they'll be the ones to miss out on the adventure and the fun.
Yeah, you know. So, all right. You just got to open your mind.
Yep. So, well, that one was sort of my next story. So, what do you have for your next one?
I don't want to poo-poo on a certain website.
Poo-poo.
Which is why I don't like poo-poo. That's our new word in the silent, poo-poo. So I'm not going to poo-poo that website. But this story did come up on epicstream.com, so it could have some legitimacy.
But before you finish, read down. Read down a little bit. Where did it come from?
Hold on.
Who did Epic notice their source?
Hold on. Oh, you know what?
I saw that too.
I'm going to take that back.
But I'll go ahead and actually talk about it because I think it's a good, cool idea.
Nah, I don't want to.
Sorry, I didn't mean to burst your bubble.
It's okay. I have a backup plan anyway.
Sweet.
Sony Studios is eyeing Naomi Harris to play Shriek in Venom 2.
Oh, that I'd like.
Yeah, I like that too. I like the fact that they're going all crazy symbiote now. I like that. You're going to have Carnage. You're going to have Shriek. The first movie we had, Riot.
Yeah, we have Riot.
Symbiotes. I just know a couple of them.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, there's a couple.
Shriek, Riot. Fire, I think, is one. If any of you Asylumites know any of the names of symbiotes, please drop us any of the suggestions on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I can't think of them right now, but I know he's going to go heavy. And I think this is being done by who's directing it? It's Andy Serkis, right?
The one that did the last one. Isn't the same director returning?
No. I thought Andy Serkis was doing this. It was Venom 2. Wasn't he doing Venom 2?
Maybe. I think I do remember reading something along those lines.
Anyway, Naomi Harris is an excellent actress to play Shriek. I mean, she's not going to have to do much anyway. Just a lot of CG. So, a lot of CG. Anytime you can add talent.
Yeah, I mean, she'll probably be more of she'll probably be like it, more of her being a standalone character before Shriek comes in. You know, and takes.
Plus, just thinking about that, Andy Serkis is going to be involved, so there'll be a lot of mocap, I'm thinking. So.
Oh, yeah, okay. Definitely tons.
Tons of mocap, so. Because he's the king of the mocap, if you kids didn't know that. He's been doing mocap for decades.
Yep. Yeah, you are right. Gollum, yeah. Andy Serkis will be, is the director for that one. I thought the same, maybe it's the same writer that it was the one that was returning.
Yeah, I think it's the writer. But,
yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely Serkis for the director. That one I just looked up. So that's, so definitely see that. Toxin, yeah, Carnage, Hybrid.
Who else? Hybrid, yep, that's one. Was there fire in there, or am I wrong?
I think I'm trying to. That's what I'm looking at. There's a Lasher, Scream. Yeah, I didn't see a
Scream,
fire.
Okay. Okay, Scream is probably the
Scream
one.
Scream looks like fire. I mean, if you want to take a visual look at her.
Yeah, maybe. Because she's like the symbiote with the long red hair. Yeah, she looks wild.
Okay. Yeah, but her suit is like red, and then it goes into yellow. Very, very Phoenix-esque when you actually
maybe
look at her.
That's why I thought her was fire.
I could definitely see that just by looking at her. I could definitely think it's fire on that.
Well, Planet of the Symbiotes is coming. Who knows?
Yeah, we can't wait for that one. So, something you and I talked about, and I know we brought this up before, we've all heard about the Snyder Cuts. But there's another story that has been kicking around for, 5 years. Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson reveals the Black Adam start date. Like I said, he has been talking about this for 5 years. He was supposed to be originally in the Shazam movie, but that part got cut out. So,
what are you talking about? He's been talking about this since he was in the WWE.
Like I said, for 5 years, Dwayne Johnson has been patiently waiting for this. He was, like I said, he was supposed to be on the in Shazam. Now, again, I'm not holding my breath on this one. This one goes right under the shelf, sitting right next to the Snyder Cut that we will never see. So it's just like, I stop talking about it. Just do it. That's all I care about right now.
I'm not going to believe him until he starts shooting. I want to see his Instagram post when he's, working out in, the Iron Paradise?
Yeah.
And he goes straight to set, and he's wearing the Black Adam suit. That's the one I'll believe the movie's going to start.
Yeah, the second I see him with Caesar cut, then I'm not, he's got to have the Caesar cut, and then I'll believe you.
Got to have a Caesar cut, yep. Yeah, he's got to look like Black Adam. He exactly. cannot look like Dwayne Johnson. That's the thing I'm afraid of, is that he's so big now that he's basically going to make the Dwayne Johnson version of Black Adam, which would honestly piss me off, because Black Adam's a really good character, and if hopefully he's been doing his homework on it, you could really just dive into some really good stuff, especially, the stuff they teased in Shazam about, that empty chair, and like, there's a lot of good stuff with Black Adam you can do. So I hope that he honors that character, and it doesn't make him like, hey, I'm Black Adam, guess what, let's go fight, I don't want to see that.
I've seen some good movies with him. I'm trying to remember. Is it Faster? Or it's basically it's a movie for the game Driver, but they called it Faster. I don't know if they had some issues, but he plays a sort of an anti-hero. He's going around just killing and fucking people up. And if that character, in the end, the character has heart as to a reason why he's doing it. But when you're watching him, he's just murdering fuckers. And it's like, wow, I never saw this in him. So I can kind of see the Black Adam. If he's got that intensity to him, I can definitely see that going.
It'd be interesting. But hopefully they just honored what the Black Adam is. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you got to remember, The Rock really was. He did follow that borderline, anti-hero, but he was really a villain. When you look at him, he was a heel in wrestling for a lot of the time.
Some of his best work was as a heel.
early on, die, Rocky, die. Rocky sucks. That was just people hated him, and he just fed it right back at him.
Wasted.
So I
made him what he is today.
So I definitely can see him doing a villain again. But also, he's been known for the more fun characters now, with Jumanji. What else? God, what's CIA, the Central Intelligence Agent,
Central Intelligence. That was a good movie. Him and Kevin Arnold.
Yeah, but he's known for being more of those kind of funny, goofy guys. Even in Fast and the Furious, his first character was, you saw the harder one, but then, in the later ones, when Hobbs and Shaw, you saw the dad side of that. So he can definitely do it. I just want to make sure he does it, like you were saying.
Yeah, just do it. Stop talking about it. Move on.
Get off the pot.
Please. Yeah, get off the pot.
All right, so what do you got next?
Let's see what I got here. I got Robert Pattinson says, guess what, Mike? The Dark Knight is not a hero.
Oh, yay. Thanks, Robert.
Okay, so thanks, Robert. So if he's not a hero, what the fuck is he?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you going to make him a murderer? Is that the whole point of the movie? He's not going to save people? Fuck you, Gotham. I'm Batman. I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want. Like, what? You're Batman. I mean, you have that dark edge to you, but guess what? You still save lives. Yeah. You're still a freaking hero at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, to say you're not a hero, what is it? Like, what? You're going to make him an anti-hero now? He's not the Punisher. This is a guy that when I read this, he totally doesn't get what the character is. Just doesn't get it. It's just like, no, he's not an anti-hero. He's a hero.
Yeah, that's
why he just does things his own way. That's
why I don't know if he's reading the comic books and trying to get in vibe, you know, or if he's one of these ones. I'm not going to read the comic books. I'm just going to read the script, and that's what the script is telling him. That's what I'm worried about. Like, is that script material that he's kind of trying to using? Because I know some of these actors will like, I don't know, I'm not going to read the source material. I want to be myself. You know, the first time I'm doing this character, I don't want anybody else's input. You know, so I don't know if he's doing it that way or what. So. But
I get it, but still, you have to pay homage to where the character. At least pick up a comic book, read it a little bit, read a run, I mean, or something, just to get an idea, to get in the head. I mean, I know you want to do your own thing, but still, I mean, just to say that, you know what, he's not a hero.
Yeah, let's not do what Marvel has done and literally has soaked themselves in the comic book lore, and not only just the writers, the directors, and the actors have all soaked up osmosis, you know, every lore and every story of it, and they're projecting that out onto the screen. Let's not do what's been successful. Let's do something different, and that's what I'm afraid of that they're going to do. The fact that I'm like, wait a second, so you're going to turn a hero, you're saying, now is a bad guy. In the meantime, we just released a bad guy movie who really deep down is sort of a good guy that's got some issues. I just went and saw Maleficent this weekend. There's another character that they took that was an ultimate bad person. If anybody's ever seen Sleeping Beauty or read it or whatever, Maleficent was right up there with, like, you in the Darth Vader range of villains. And now, you know, when you watch those movies, she's a nice, sweet lady. She was mad about something, a broken heart. She made a comment, and she, you know, she redeemed herself, and now she's a good person. Like, even in the title of, I keep wanting to say Elvira, Mistress of Evil, but Maleficent, Mistress of Evil.
That's a different kind of movie.
That was Elvira. She was the Mistress of Evil, so that's why in my head I keep seeing that.
She was. Yeah.
I got my ticket, I'm like, that doesn't look right. It should say Elvira. And by the way, if nobody's seen the movie yet, this is a Disney movie, and they took the technology from the snap or the blip or whatever you want to fucking call it, and they used it in this movie. I was like, oh, so they had to reuse it somewhere. They spent the money to create the dusting effect. Yeah, so there's a couple of times you see that. I'm like, money well spent. Good job, Disney. Good recycle.
Yeah, well, it's a snap, not the blip. The blip is the worst name.
Yeah, it is. I know some people like to use it. Yeah, the blip.
Who likes to use it called the blip? If I hear who that is, we are no longer friends. Ever call it the blip. The blip. Ugh.
But you know, I mean, this kind of seems what they're doing. They're taking these characters that are already sort of these staples, these iconic characters, and going, well, let's flip them around and make them bad. Oh, no, this time make them good. I hope that's not what they're doing. I know Hollywood start getting this weird trend again where they're wanting to can't leave well enough alone and just write a good story about that character of what they are. We can't come up with a good story. Let's change them and make them something completely different, and then we can write a story. No, just write a good story.
No, just write a good story, and that's it. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to focus on. It just drives me crazy.
Always. So my next one, this will actually be my last one. I don't know if you have any more. But my last one, and hopefully I'm not stepping on your toes on this one, Ghostbusters. For Ghostbusters 2020 has wrapped. So we're all now waiting for Jason Reitman and his father, Ivan Reitman, to basically kind of, put it all together, get it ready. It's going to go in editing. But basically right now we have all the actors from McKinney Grace to Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfham, also Sigourney Weaver, and some of the original cast did return. I don't think we got a full list of who returned on that. We know Sigourney did. Andy Potts did. And I believe we had Ernie Hudson was definite, and Dan Aykroyd. I don't think we had ever really heard from the man himself.
From from Bill. I think he's in it.
I'm sure he is. Knowing him,
they're keeping it hush hush.
And I'm sure he is. He's like, hey, let's just make it fun. You know, I'll have something weird. You know, something maybe. You know, maybe he's like, you know, maybe he's actually dead in the movie and or something. Who knows? And we also had
a ghost.
That's yeah, great. Or a zombie from Zombieland.
Oh. Oh yeah, he's crossover.
But yeah, so they and then of course you know Paul Rudd was in there. He played a teacher in the film. So again, no real idea what this movie is about. Just the cast. We do know it took place in a small town, but that's it. You know, it wasn't a big city movie like the others have been in the past. So it's interesting. The only thing visually we've seen so far is that quick little trailer. That
Vecto One
in it, and that's it. And that's all we've gotten. Which I got to be honest, I know we talk like about it. All the I like news. It. I like the fact we haven't seen anything.
Me too.
I'm loving it.
We don't know nothing. We don't know nothing about it. They wrapped. It's in the can. Post production. They're gonna work on the special effects. I think it's coming out next year in July 2020. So
yeah.
Yeah, we know nothing about it, and guess what? I don't mind one bit.
I'm perfectly fine. I
want to be surprised. So.
I don't need a trailer of the trailer. I don't need that. Yeah. Sorry, to me it's getting kind of out of hand. I do know you know that there's a trailer coming out soon, and there's a trailer for that trailer. I'm like, I don't know. We don't need trailers to trailers. Just show me the fucking trailer. The trailer's supposed to be the pre to the real big one. It's not. There's not supposed to be like baby steps to build us up. So just give me the trailer. And then tell me when to buy my tickets. I'm on board.
Yep. I'm ready. Rock and roll. Yep. Ghostbusters 2020, man. It's coming.
Cannot wait. And of course, I do know they just released the game, too. The Transformers, son of a bitch. Sorry, I got a Transformer staring me in the face. Ghostbusters. There's a, the video game just dropped not too long ago. And that's supposed to be truly what they consider a direct sequel to damn it, I did it again. I put Optimus Prime away. Sorry.
I think you're right. It's supposed to be a sequel to part two. It's a game version.
Yeah, and
I've seen some stills. It's pretty dope.
Yeah,
I
looks
might pick
great.
It up.
The voice actors, they all got the original actors in back and forth. This was actually the script for what was supposed to be Ghostbusters 3, and they never got it written, so they turned it around and gave it to a video game developer, and they are making the script of what should have been the third movie.
Looks good. Can't wait till it gets released. Is there a release date on that game yet?
Not that I've seen yet. I've just seen a lot of pop-ups online of you know showing some gameplay, and it looks pretty pimp.
I'll have to check it out.
I'm pretty sure it's coming up. Sir? I mean, it's probably going to drop, you know, the Christmas holiday.
Well, Christmas is around the corner there, Mike.
Yes, sir. All right. So what do you have next, sir?
I got one last thing. Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, isn't it? Ryan Reynolds met with Marvel Studios this week. And I guess it's to confirm there will be a Deadpool 3. It will be under the Fox banner, and it will be rated R, which is kind of contradictory statements that was made by, I believe it was Alan Horn a couple months ago, that they would never release a R-rated movie under the Disney banner, which they're not. It's going to be under the Fox banner, which is underneath the Disney banner. So they're not going to change the Deadpool character at all or his mannerisms or anything. So, you know, Deadpool 3 is going to be coming possibly 2021. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
You know, if they were for meetings now, probably start shooting by next summer for 2021 release. So that sounds about right.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Honestly, if anybody looks at what companies Disney owns, Disney puts out a fucking shit ton of R-rated movies. When I heard that news, I'm like, no, you're going to do R-rated because you're not going to put it under Disney. You're going to do exactly what they did. Leave it under Fox. It's a Fox production. Leave it as it is. It kind of continues can keep the consistency and the continuity to it being under Fox. Now you're going to have the same opening and, you know, so I think everybody kind of jumped, got a little jumpy when Disney bought it. They're like, oh my God, they're going to do the mouse thing. It's like, Disney's bought a lot of, you know, movie companies, production companies, and they really haven't touched them. They just let them do their job. You know,
they just make money off of it.
Yeah, exactly. A smart businessman and a smart company is, I like what you do. You're making money. I'm going to buy you. I'm going to get some money off of you. But you do whatever you're doing. Keep that up.
Yeah, it's all you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the smart thing to do. If they're succeeding, don't touch them. Just buy them. Get your money worth and then, you know, keep it going.
You know, I heard a wild rumor, too, since now of whether or not Deadpool is going to be in the MCU or the MCU, as you would call it, that they would like the Deadpool character to replace the Stan Lee character and having his cameos in the MCU, which I thought, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, but I don't know how that would flow. It would be a little, like, what is he going to do? Hey, what's going on there, Captain America? Fuck you. Like,
that's kind of weird. And if you're going to have him do that much, you need to have him interact, not just be there like Stan Lee has. I mean, he's been like, maybe he's yelled at somebody. I think he yelled at, who was it? Peter Parker. Wasn't it Peter Parker he yelled at? No. Where's the Ant-Man? When he stuck his head out of the window, like he was in an apartment. Hey, we're trying to sleep here. Is that Spider-Man? Okay. Yeah. That was probably the most interaction he's really ever had. I mean, the other time it's just him walking around or talking to somebody else or trying to get into his car, you know, or being on the bus and Captain Marvel. If you're going to put Deadpool in something, you want Deadpool there to interact with, you know, with him. Now, if the Fantastic Four is running down the street and he like trips somebody because he's just standing there like waiting for the bus and he trips, you know, Reed. Oops, sorry, dude. And then that I can go, okay, that's fun.
That would be kind of cool. Sorry, buddy.
Yep, sorry. And he just keeps moving on, you know. Why are you in a rush? You know, and just moves on and goes about his day.
Asshole.
But yeah, I could definitely see it. And I think he just needs to stay in his own pocket right now. I know it's always fun to see him mess with other people. But I think if you actually build what they started to do with the X-Force and actually keep him and Cable, because, I mean, it's really – him and Spider-Man have a good relationship and good chemistry, but so does he and Wolverine. But I think him and Cable, because they had a long, long run together in the comic books, I think that's a better story to keep them together and have that relationship and see them grow the X-Force.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, bring in more characters, especially that Rough and Gruff, because, I mean, he, you know, Cable is borderline Wolverine with, you know, that's just a no attitude.
Same type of character. So, yeah.
Very cool. I think that'll be all we have. I was talking loosely and kind of vaguely about a trailer, but hopefully we'll have this out Monday morning. So if you're listening to this on Monday morning, the 21st, tonight, Monday Night Football, Patriots and the Jets, the Star Wars trailer is dropping. So make sure you guys are watching the game. So you can see, so you can watch the New England Patriots beat the New York Jets.
Yeah, that's not even a game. they should just turn that game off. Cancel it.
So that'll be
the white flag.
It'll be the first full length trailer, and we're so close. It's probably going to be the only trailer, if you really think about it.
I hope so. I hope it's the last trailer, to be honest. But knowing them, they're going to release these international trailers. They're going to release a China trailer.
Yeah, you have a little things here and there.
So
just question. Hopefully
it's the last one.
Anything you're looking forward to see in the trailer? What do you want to see? I know there's we know we don't want to see much, and they're always pretty good about not doing too much. And what they did with the last teasers was like that last second they gave like a thing. You know, the Rey with dual blue sabers on the last one. I'm trying to remember what the other one was from the first little leak trailer that they did. But anything you're looking forward to seeing or hoping to see?
I think they're gonna show the Emperor. I just have that feeling. I don't know why. I think it's gonna be done in the last frame.
You think
you're
he'll
gonna
be
see
the,
like?
You think he'll be the big payoff on that?
Like, I think it is. Yeah, I think it's gonna be like a scene where Kylo and Rey are like looking up, and it's just him sitting in that throne. Not the same throne, but like a different throne.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see Emperor Palpatine, and, you know, and they'll still drop some of the shots, maybe the Falcon. I heard a rumor about the Millennium Falcon, which I hope is not true.
I'll cry. Yeah, that's a few. Yeah, I've heard a couple of rumors and
they better not do that.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
Don't do it. Just don't do it. don't buy into the peer pressure.
Yeah, you don't have to kill off the whole original generation. You know, it's to keep the Falcon around.
I get it. You want to move on, but just don't. Yeah, that's like killing the house dog. If you kill Chewie, don't kill Chewie. Don't destroy the Falcon.
Well, you remember in the expanded universe that Chewie actually did die. You know, saving I forget which child. I think it was Janus Skywalker or Solo.
Moon fell on him. That's great. Yeah, that's a horrible way to go. giant moon falls on.
It's the only way to keep a Wookiee down, man. All right, folks. So make sure you guys do check it out. I am going to, hopefully we are dropped on Monday morning. If for some god-awful reason we don't, make sure you guys do check it out. It'll be on YouTube like within minutes afterwards. So make sure you guys do check it out throughout the week. I know me personally will watch it several times. And next week we will have a breakdown of what were our thoughts, what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't like. And we'll find out if Kane gets his wish and sees the Emperor.
Roll the footage.
Yeah. All right. All right. Mm. So we have a short. So I have a couple, but I know Kane has a couple for the long box. So let's go ahead and jump into that. Actually, no, let's not. We have something else to go into. I'm so sorry. Hold on.
Huh?
Sorry about that. I completely jumped right over it.
Yeah.
And there were some things I wanted to say about it, too.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Oh, so.
Especially since last week you predicted this character. And guess what? The very next week, he came into fruition. And what was that, Captain Mike?
Oh, Spectre. Good old Spectre is coming. And I'm okay with the actor. I preferred they would have grabbed the other one, which is cool. But the other rumor I heard before this dropped was they were going to have Stephen Amell play the Spectre, which I thought was, get off your pocketbook, guys. Pay another actor to do it. Let Stephen stick to his roles he's known for, since this is literally his swan song season. And I'm glad that they did that. And hopefully you'll see how big of a part he really does play. I mean, he does play a very integral part in the series or in the overall arc of Crisis. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, he'll probably be here and there, but it's nice to see that we finally got the Spectre.
Yeah,
a live-action version of the Spectre.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, like other than the Constantine one, which, and even then, that wasn't really a live-action. It was just like this green, eerie thing around him, which was fucking cool as shit. But I think, you know, I'd see how, if we get a real good live one with, you know, with Kerrigan, see how it goes.
See what happens, and I guess we got something else too that dropped for Crisis. We got our first look at a guy I've been screaming about for the last 5 years. He's finally showing up. He's almost like the Thanos of this world, because they basically teased him since the first season of Flash. You know, when you see the newspaper clip and it says Flash disappears in Crisis, any sweaty is gonna know. Oh, are they doing Crisis? They've been setting this up for almost 5 years, which is kind of crazy.
Yep. That's what I was telling you. It's like all the behind-the-scenes shots. I'm like, those are great teases, but guys, you've been teasing me 5 years. I'm done. Let's get on with it.
Yeah, well, we won't have to wait too much longer. I believe it's in a couple weeks.
Well, really, if you watch, like, I know, I'm pretty sure you watch. I did, too. Arrow, it's starting already.
If
you guys don't wait for the crossover events to happen, start watching now if you're caught up. I had a talk with a friend this weekend. She hasn't even seen last year's Crisis. So I was like, okay, don't do that. I was going to tell her, just kind of read about what happened after Crisis. You can get caught up with the characters and then jump into this. And she's like, I haven't even seen Crisis yet. I go, then you need to just do your thing then.
Do your thing. Yeah, because I got to admit, because I thought they were going to start doing it like, you know, middle of the season, November. No, they're starting now.
Fucking,
they're not waiting.
A minute into Arrow, it's like, bam, right there. I'm like, oh, okay. We're going there now.
All right. So I guess all these shows are intertwining and leading up to Crisis. And of course, if you're going to have Crisis, you can't have Crisis without my boy, the Anti-Monitor. First image was released. Lamont Garrett is doing a double role as playing the Monitor, the very friendly version. Of course, his evil twin brother, the Anti-Monitor, Mobius, that's his name for kids. And I wonder if he'll be on the Mobius chair. The same chair that...
No, because he really wasn't...
used by Metron.
He wasn't in there during the Crisis. He wasn't on the Mobius chair during Crisis.
I know, but he does have the Mobius chair before Metron. So
yeah,
I'm
he does.
Curious if they would actually.
I don't know. That would be kind of a stretch.
I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool.
Oh, I'm not saying it wouldn't be cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not going to be cool. I just think it might be too much of a stretch for him. They got a lot to do. I mean, you're talking a massive run of stories and crossing over and all the characters that we've already heard them bringing in. I just don't think they're bringing in these big name characters and doing this a lot of, like, you know, throwback just for these guys to be on screen for 20 seconds.
So, I think there's a story there. There's something happening that we don't know about.
I think.
And these guys are not stupid. They know what they're doing. So, and we got our first look at him. So somebody told me that he looks very Thanos-esque. I'm like,
Not really. God, no.
Not really. I mean, he just looks like Lamont Garrett, just more distorted looking, you know, a little bit more creepier eye makeup. And,
yeah, he's got like the more little, more armorish, you know, on him. Yeah, that's,
yeah, more armor. Yeah.
I don't see Thanos. Yeah, I think people want to see Thanos because they want this to be, oh, more DC's copying Marvel, maybe, you know.
So. It's just, you know, I'm so tired of that already. Just let it go.
Oh, but that's been always the battle, man, ever since, you know, we were kids, you know, DC, Marvel. And it's still, it's just converted over to the, you know, the screen now, whether it's small screen or big screen.
Boggles my mind. I remember a couple of years ago I went to see what movie, I think it was some MCU movie, and I had a I think I was wearing my Shazam or Black Adam t-shirt watching it, and somebody made a comment, oh, wrong theater. I go, really, dude? You can't like both? that's like Star Trek and Star Wars fans. They can get along. They're not gonna fight, man. I mean, this is, it's ridiculous. Just, they have to be, you know, in harmony. They should love each other. Get along with each other.
Yeah, exactly. Because we got to put up, you know, go beat up the jocks later. So we got to beat the, you know, team up.
Yeah, our enemies are the jocks, kids. We're not supposed to fight each other.
Yes. Show the love. I mean, geekdom is the first, you know, openly, you know, acceptable community. I know we joke about it with the MCU and everything, but you know, we were the community that always was open to, you know, female empowerment. You know, when you look at our superhero ranks, yes, it was still heavily male, but there was a lot of female in there. Yes, there was some simply clad women, but they were still empowered women. And I think, you know, we as a community were always on the forefront of being open. I mean, even a lot of people talk about, you know, the artists. You know, we in the '60s and even the '50s and sixties, there were women artists out there for Marvel back in the day, or Timely Comics when it was back then. So I mean, it's still always been an open community. Like I said, not as big and as it is now, but you know, we were still there for, you know, doing support. Speaking of the women empowerment, I watched a second episode of Batwoman. Did you check it out?
Yes, sir.
Loved it. I'm taking everything I've spent, you know, right now. They still haven't done what I thought they were going to do, and I'm glad that they're not.
I thought it was going to be a big piece of flaming turd, but what they're doing in this show, which is kind of like, it reminds me of an older show I saw a long time ago, and I can't put the name in my head right now because I'm drawing a blank, but basically,
ducks are bad.
She doesn't want to put this suit on. You know, she's just doing it.
Yeah.
And like the weakest character so far is Luke Fox. Oh, he sucks.
God, he's horrible.
I think he's just terrible. Hopefully he improves, but god awful.
And it's not the actor. I think it's just the character that they're making him portray as not as smart and having the ability that Lucius Fox would. You know, his father. He seems very bumbly in a way. And very like, I just want to protect things. I don't know. I don't know what they do, and I don't want to know what they do. I'm just here to tell you, don't touch. Very, very reminiscent of another character. And I wish I could remember that there was another character in like a similar kind of story that there was just like, you know, no, I don't. I'm just don't touch it. Don't, you're gonna break it.
Yeah, you just don't touch that. Don't touch that. Like, come on, man. Your father was mad intelligent, and he knew what was going on. You act like an idiot. I mean, I don't know. Hopefully, he evolves as the series goes along. But I kind of like the Kate Kane character. She's very kind of like conflicted, down to earth. She doesn't want to wear that suit and all along that comes with it. Even her sister, which I felt was kind of a faux pas doing what they did very early. They should have waited. But
I thought so too. But this episode, I thought, kind of helped it along because you don't know. Is it or isn't it? Mm-hmm. You're still that. I thought the same thing when they rushed who Alice was and they said, you know, it was Kate's sister. But you're like, but is she really Kate's sister when you watch this episode? And so I'm okay with that rush. I wasn't when I first saw it. After the first one, I'm like, why'd you rush that? That's like a season or a half a season worth of, you know, teasing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with her dad and her stepmom, just that story just keeps getting thicker and thicker. I'm starting to now feel more bad for her dad, and now I'm starting to hate her stepmother. You know, the typical evil stepmom.
Evil step witch that she is, but it's not as bad as I thought it was, and they're going in a direction that I didn't think they would go to. I like the ending parts where she's always with his journal writing to Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, that's really
great. That's the cool part that I like. Like saying, hey, I'm not as good, but you know, I want you to come back, which is leading me to believe one way or another, he is going to come back. I mean, not this season, probably not season two, maybe not even season three, but he will show up. And I think he's going to show up in a way that it won't be public, like, oh, hey, Bruce Wayne is back. It won't be anything like that. It'll be like maybe a case that she's working on, you know, an enemy that's one of Bruce's old enemies that she can't do. And basically he's going to come in and say, hey, you know, Kate, you need some help. And he won't put the Batman suit on, but he will help her from behind the scenes.
I
could see that happening.
Well, my thing is also, you know, it's not just that Batman's gone, but where's everybody else?
Where's Alfred?
Where's Robin? Where's, you know, Batgirl? Where's, you know, where is everybody else? You know, it's been, you know, like, okay, so that everybody
kind of weird, like
everybody just bounced. Like, hey man, we're going. Yeah, peace out.
Yeah, Bruce is like, hey man, the jet is full. Let's go.
Yeah, you don't have a Commissioner Gordon coming around going, hey, is this Batman? We haven't had Commissioner Gordon come around. I'm like,
it's so there's weird. A lot. Like even Rene Montoya, you can have Bullock in there. You can have a ton of
nobody,
cops in there.
Nobody,
are those guys. Oh. Yeah.
I wonder, because this is part of the multiverse, I wonder if in this one, like, I'm maybe we won't see Bruce for this of this world, because I'm curious what's going to happen in the multiverse. Will she be like Supergirl was, where she'll be able to jump back and forth? Right? How's that going to function? So that's kind of what I'm interested in.
Well, it's off to a good start, I got to admit.
So far, I'm happy. I will take my words and my cursings back. You know, I don't do it that often, but
yes, I will take it back as well. I firmly put the shoe in my mouth because I was dead wrong.
All right. So what else we got on Crisis?
Oh, that's it.
That's it.
That wasn't that much. Spectre, first images of the Anti-Monitor, and that's it.
Yeah.
And more behind the scenes pictures, but you know,
gotcha.
We know how you feel about those.
Yeah, like I said, just give me it. Just I'm done. Stop the foreplay.
Captain Mike is a hater of foreplay.
For 5 years? Yeah. Yeah. That's a long, long tease. And we've all had those experiences.
Enough already. Just give it.
All right. So let's go ahead and jump into the long box. We got a few books this week. So let's go.
Legends of the Long Box.
All righty. So I got three, and then I know you got what, one or two? Two. Okay, so I'll go ahead and start off, and then you can sandwich in the middle. My first one is, and this is one I'm pretty sure you're ready for. I'm ready for it. I've been waiting for it ever since I heard the announcement of it. Tales from the Dark Multi-Universe from DC.
Oh, I'm jealous that you got this.
Oh, dude, it starts off with a bang, Batman Nightfall, and I'm not going to do too much on it, but basically it's a multiverse, it's an Elseworld in a way that instead of, if anybody's familiar with the Nightfall and the Night Rise back in the 90s when Batman broke his back and Jean-Paul Valley took over, who was Azrael, took over as Batman and just went like full freaking just militant style Batman, got his own armor, blah, blah, all this. And
that's a badass suit.
Yeah.
That suit was badass.
Yeah. And he like got rid of Robin, didn't want a Nightwing. I'm doing this on my own. And eventually, you know, Bruce comes back, defeats him, and reclaims the cowl from Azrael. And then, of course, turns it over to, gives it to Nightwing for a little bit to be Batman. But in this universe, that didn't happen. Bruce is defeated again by his back, but apparently this one paralyzes him. And then we just see Azrael being taken over by the system, and the system is what controls the Azrael character within inside Jean-Paul, and basically turns Gotham into a police state under his rule, killing and chasing away any of Batman's allies away. What we pick up on in the comic book is about 20 years afterwards, and it's like kind of the anniversary of this, and there's a new challenge coming around town trying to test him, and Azrael has been beat up. Broken because he's put everybody down, and he has a very cult-like following as far as like he has him, his wife, and then two preachers, so to speak, that kind of help him out. But we find that Bane and Lady Shiva have a son, and he's come back for revenge, and there's a little help that comes along with it. These are one-off shots, so it's like one and done. So they're really, it's really good, man. It's dark. Not what you expect to happen, man. You're going to love, you, I know, are going to love this book. And then the next book that comes out, I think it's next week. I think they're going to try to pump these out pretty quick. I think the next one will be The Death of Superman. So I'm kind of curious to how they're going to take that on as in the dark, and the Tales from the Dark Multiverse. So I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. You know, I'm a big fan of the Dark Multiverse. So the minute you said that you had this comic, I left Acme. 2 seconds later, I ordered it on eBay, so it'll be here by Tuesday.
It's definitely a good book. Great artwork. The twists, the turns, you're like, wait, I thought this was, oh, wait, no, never mind. That's, oh, crap. Yeah, so it's a lot of, keeps your interest, and I like it for like a one-off kind of series just to have a little fun. And like I said, I was a big fan of The Nightfall, but I'm a bigger fan of Death of Superman, so I cannot wait for that one next. I'm hoping it's next week. I don't think they're doing these monthly.
Can't wait. It'll be interesting.
Yes, sir. Interesting. What do you have for your first choice?
Well, my first choice for this week was Metalman, issue 1. It was done by a couple of artists. It's done by Dido, not the artist, but it's somebody called Dido, Davis, Dilecki, and Wright. And issue 1, basically, if you've never read the Metalman, basically, it's this group of people created by a scientist, and they're basically the elements of metal, like mercury, gold, silver, tin, all that stuff, and that's basically the name of these characters. Basically a slight intro as a doctor is going into the backstory, and then it's leading into the current day. Basically what's going on in the current day is this is taking place within the events of the Dark Multiverse, of the Dark Metalman, the Dark Evil Batman, I'm sorry, and Challenger Mountain. Now, if you know what Challenger Mountain is, that was in the Metal series. That's basically where the everything went down, was in Challenger Mountain. So basically these doctors find out that underneath Challenger Mountain is this new sort of metal that they find. And you find out at the end of the book what kind of metal it is. And if you have, I don't want to spoil it, but if you've read the Metal series, there's a certain type of metal they keep mentioning over and over again that can defeat the Dark Multiverse Evil Batman. And that is going to be the main antagonist going forward.
Really?
Of this metal series.
Do they make a character of that metal?
There is a form.
Oh, okay. Yes. Cool. So, okay. I've got metal. I've got that one. I just didn't read it because once I heard picked it up, I was like, I'll listen to the review.
I read it and I will, because, you know, I've read Metalman before, the older versions, and I was like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah, they were fun.
But when they got to that last panel, I was like, okay, I'm in.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
because it makes total sense if you think about it. You know, this certain metal, which I won't mention, going forward as an antagonist, yeah, makes a lot of sense. So hopefully they'll keep pumping this out. I think it's a 10 run series. I'm not sure, but it should be interesting. So that's Metalman issue 1.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I was going to bring up my comic books here, but I didn't quick enough. My next one is Spider-Man number 2. And of course, this one we talked about a couple of weeks ago is the continuation of the J.J. Abrams and his son's story of Peter Parker's son, Ben Parker. And it's just, he's kind of picked up the mantle of Spider-Man. He found out that Spider-Man has, he was upset about something about it. Basically in the story of Peter's not, is a very abandoning father. He's dealing with his own issues. Spider-Man, if you never got a chance to finally read it, but Spider-Man, Peter, loses his arm. So he has to give up being a Spider-Man. So not only does he lose his arm, he loses his wife all on the same night. So he tries his best to continue raising his son, but Aunt May kind of steps in to help him. And Peter becomes, he's still in the, you know, the newspaper world. And he's a traveling, you know, photographer for some, you know, for still for the Bugle. And so Ben's a little upset, and May just finally says, you know, screw it, and shows him who his dad really was. Shows the suit and all these different, you know, just about him, because Ben starts getting powers. Very similar to Peter, you know, genetics, I guess, you know, he didn't have to be spit. He, you know, kind of came over with genetics with his dad. And it's kind of fun. He's got a neighbor girl. I mean, very similar to how MJ was, but it's a little different. She's a little bit more aggressive than MJ. And, Ben so upset with Peter, with Spider-Man, that he goes and burns the Spider-Man costume that he finds in the attic. And then this girl, I can't remember her name. She shows up to Ben's house. They were going to go to a party together. And she's like, well, it's a cosplay party. And she's dressed up like Black Cat. Mm. And he's like, oh, I just burnt the suit. And then May comes around the corner. She's like, do you really think he only had one suit? And so they go out to the party. And again, things start happening. Events start happening around. People see Spider-Man. They start putting him on the TV. And Peter sees it. So he decides it's time to come home to confront his son. I think it's a fun run so far. It's a different take because it is Ben, but it's still Spider-Man in a way. It's just like every Spider-Man character. I know a lot of people do love Miles Morales, but Miles Morales is just Peter Parker. He's just Hispanic. It's still the same character. I mean, it's, you know, they just tokenize these characters and just change them to match, but it's still the basic storyline. And that's so far what we've gotten. Haven't seen too much wow factor, but I know it's coming. It's JJ, so I'm pretty sure there's something big coming down the road. And you know, they're still building the relationship of Ben, his, you know, in May, and then Peter, and then this girl. So I think next episode is gonna be, or next issue should be a pretty big one.
Interesting. I'll have to pick that one up now that you mentioned it. I think I saw one of those runs in there in Acme, but I had such few time to pick up my runs for the week. So, but that was there, and like I said, you mentioned that the last time, so I'm definitely gonna have to pick that one up. You know,
yeah, it's a small. Many runs. Yeah, it's a small. I mean, it's not a long. It's like I think it's only like 5 or 6 books that they're gonna do on this, so it's not a big read you have to do.
I'll definitely have to check that out then.
All right. Well, so what you got next?
I got a series that actually you read that I'm still ongoing and reading. It's the Darth Vader series.
Sorry, had to do that one.
No, that's fine. It's done by Sol Camino, Orlini, and Kurel. And basically, I'm going to be blunt about this. I love this fucking book.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it. You recommended it to me, I guess, a couple months ago now. I got a lot of this stuff on paperback right now, and I'm on basically in the last couple of issues. And I got to say, from what we've talked about, they have de-wussified the Anakin Skywalker character, and this is the Darth Vader. Yeah.
Yeah, this is this book is all Vader.
This is the Vader. Yeah. It's all Vader all the time. It shows him basically right after Revenge of the Sith, right after that no garbage that we had to live through, and it's his journey of becoming Darth Vader, of getting the red lightsaber, getting the Kyber crystal, the bleed, him fighting one of the Jedis on a planet just to get a ship, him fighting one of the librarians, I believe, and I forgot her name, Mike.
I can't remember her name now.
Okay.
But yeah, but one of the cooler issues on that run is that, and then I think like the robot inside of the library knows who he is. Just, you know, yep. Yeah, and it's, I mean, some really great stuff.
Basically an intro to the Vader character as well, because you got to figure the Empire doesn't know who this guy is.
Yep.
They have no clue.
He just showed up.
Who the hell is this guy? He just shows up. He's in charge. Like, what? Why? And basically, he shows him why he's in charge. He shows him why the Emperor put him as his number two, because he does a lot of ass kicking.
I think my favorite one is when he comes walking into the Emperor's office, and he's surrounded by all these people. He comes in like shit missing, and he's smoldering still, kind of smoking. And everybody's like, "Who is this?" Yeah, you guys just leave the room. Okay, I got this one.
Yeah,
I was like, "Who's this guy?"
It's just I'm reading like the third of the paperback trilogies, or not the trilogy. I guess it's like 4 books now, because I think it's like 30 something issues. But where I left off, he's meditating basically on Mustafar out of his, like, it's just a lot of cool elements that I like. He gets like this type of proto ship that looks like what's going to be his TIE fighter. And like the last issue I read off, he's basically reliving the moments with Obi-Wan again in his head. Like, what would he would do if he basically he's this Darth Vader character now? That's what I'm getting into. And everything about it, it's just kick-ass. It's just kick-ass. They do a great job. The guys who wrote this comic book, they're Star Wars sweaties. You can tell. They put, like, even the smallest minute detail in there, like only a Star Wars sweatie would catch. And I recommend this book, like, 100%. I think I've talked about it before. Maybe I haven't. Maybe I have.
Yeah, no, you did a couple months ago, yeah.
And like I said, I'm almost done with this run. It's fantastic. And I just love reading this thing. I'll probably read it again when I'm done with it. So I just.
Yeah, it's definitely a rereader. Definitely a good reread.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's Darth Vader.
Yeah, that, and that's you. I think you're right. You're right at the cusp where he's getting ready to find his castle. Where he, I think he's meditating to choose where to put it. And then there's some. There's a, another, you know, small like volume there that you go afterwards. So where they build it, and it's that's kind of a cool moment as well.
I love that meditation scene. That's just that just adds
that
something.
One's like great. Yeah,
that is great, especially when it's. He's just floating over there, and you can see him out of his body. Like, it just shows how powerful he is.
Yep.
He's not just like, you know, a mustache twirling villain. He's just like, he's in himself. He's immersing himself in the forest, and it shows how powerful he is.
I mean, it shows, you know, how powerful he is. It shows how what a badass he is. And it shows also that there's still that internal conflict going on. I mean, we've seen that internal conflict in other places. If anybody's ever seen Rebels, where Ahsoka comes back and she has to fight him, and she actually like cuts off a part of his mask, and you can hear him say, you know, Ahsoka, it's you know, and she like he's still there, but it's like this constant battle, but the Dark Lord is winning always.
He is. He's always winning in the end. That's Lord Vader.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And that's, like I said, yeah, definitely a good run. I mentioned it and Josh mentioned it too. So, yeah, definitely got three thumbs up from all around here.
Oh, yeah.
My next one is X-Men number one. This is the restart of the X-Men universe after the House of X and Power of 10 series. Now, I've talked about those series already. I'm going to be doing a Legends of the Long Box show shortly, and that's going to be my first issue, is the breakdown of those and then the start of the new X-Men series. And basically, it's just the rebirth of the X-Men universe. Honestly, I've been kind of waiting for something like this. This is like fresh. It's the first issue of this one. It shows Cyclops and Professor Xavier meeting, and then, of course, a professor giving Scott his first pair of glasses, not the goggles. Just a pair of glasses so he can control it. But in the scene that is on that panel, you see the set of goggles already kind of built and just like hanging on the wall in the background. I thought it was kind of cool. Then it jumps to the current timeline. So, you know, when we see Scott and Professor Xavier, that's early on when they first meet. Then we see the current timeline with the X-Men team freeing some children in a laboratory. The current X-Men team for this one is Cyclops, Storm, Polaris, Magneto, Dr. Reyes, Jean Grey, Havoc, Vulcan, Wolverine, and Cable. Now, yes, it's a different idea that Cable isn't alive now because Jean and Scott have had a child, and he's a borderline teenager right now. We also see Prestige and Corsair, Scott's father. He's on here. Then the story afterwards jumps to the living quarters of the X-Men on the blue side of the moon. And if anybody remembers what I talked about on the X-Men with the House of Ten, it was that they're on this the island of Krakoa. They have this plant that you can plant, put this flower anywhere, and it connects you and lets you travel from the island of Krakoa to America, to the moon, to Savage Lands. It can let you, but only mutants can use it. So they've actually designed this plant will also design a facility for you, and it's made a place on the moon, which is where they live. Then it jumps to it's Scott and Corsair talking. They have a solid relationship now. It's compared to like what we saw in the earlier comic books, and Corsair's leaving to go join the Marauders. This also then jumps to the Orchis Forge, which if anybody's read the miniseries, was the home of what they call Mother Mold. Mother Mold is a space station near the sun that makes Master Molds, and if anybody's familiar with the X-Men world.
Sentinels!
Master Molds make Sentinels, but the Mother Mold makes the Master Mold. So it's their way of making more, and they're keeping it away from the planets. And they like I said, it's a big space station out really close to the sun. And they in the miniseries, like I said, the miniseries is House of X is six issues, and then the Powers of Ten is only six. So it's really quick runs. Great storylines on this. One of the things I love about it, it's very... Not a lot of action splash pages. A lot of just interpersonal communication with each other. You know, when you see the bubble, there's a lot of fucking words in there of them talking. And basically how the X-Men are going to start now. Like I said, they're all kind of doing a refresh. X-Men 1 just came out. Marauders 1 will come out next. Excalibur, New Mutants, X-Force, and then Fallen Angels. So there's going to be a total of 6 new comic books. And the way the Powers of 10 in the House of X were set up is it took place now, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, and then 1,000 years from now. So I think you're going to see some jumping around in these other books. You're not going to see the time jump like it was in the miniseries. Like in the miniseries, you could read 5 pages taking place 10 years ago, and then the next 5 pages are taking place 1,000 years from now. A lot of time jumping going around on. So it's kind of really, you have to pay attention when you're reading that book. And so I wonder if that's what's going to happen. If like the Fallen Angels number one, is that's going to be the one that takes place in the future. And basically the books are coming out weekly. So it's going to be a good, constant, pretty steady run. And I love this X-Men. It's basically the main premise. This is Moira McTaggart we've come to find out she's got an X gene in her, and her X gene is reincarnation. So she watches Professor X, Professor Xavier fail and fail and fail life after life, that his dream can't come true. Then she follows Magneto and is like, well, let me support him. His version fails and fails. Apocalypse, she joins his time. His fails and fails and fails. And finally, she's like, you know what? Screw this. She goes straight to Xavier, lets him read her mind, and he relives her 9 lives up to this point of all the failures. And he's like, oh my God, what can we do? And that's what they do in the series, is they make a world of, or like a nation of just mutants. You know, Professor Xavier's the main one. You have Magneto as a side, Mr. Sinister, Black Tom Cassidy. I mean, everybody's in here as part of the community. And it's interesting. It's a mix of Charles's dreams and of Magneto's dreams put together. You know, Charles doesn't put up with shit anymore. He's a badass when it comes down to
yeah.
it.
Yeah. That's what I've seen. So it looks,
yeah, I'm telling you, you definitely should read it. I think you would enjoy it, because I know you haven't been in the X-Men world for a while, just like me. I was out of it for a while, and I think this is just a good refreshing universe that they're building now. And it's kind of cool because they are adding in Fantastic Four and the Marvel Universe. So they've actually like changed not just the X-Men, but they've hinted at the change of the Marvel Universe in general. Because you see Iron Man and Captain America walking together as the Professor Xavier actually does a mental broadcast around the world to everybody about something. And you see them kind of stop. And it's weird, as the suit that Iron Man's wearing is very Ultimate style. I don't think it's taking place in the Ultimate Universe, but it's very Ultimate style. Reed looks like Reed does now. He's got the beard, so I don't know how much of it changes. One of the panels during the series is kind of funny. They're trying to get Sabretooth to be released and put into mutant custody because he's gone off, killed her again, you pesky Sabretooth. And Cyclops comes around and says, hey, or the Fantastic Four have him, and he's like, hey, can we have him? He's diplomatic immunity really right now because we are our own country. And they're like, no, you need to go through the proper channels, and the things like, are we going to have a problem here? And Scott's like, no, we're going to do it the proper way. We're going to follow the rules. We're going to do the legal way of doing it. And he's like, he says, I hope you all have a great day. And as he turns to leave, he turns to Susan and Reed and goes, hey, whenever your son's ready to join his real family, just let us know. And he just walks away. I was like, oh, so a lot of really great changes in the characters. Scott's not the Boy Scout, although he really was never truly a Boy Scout, but definitely not showing here.
About time they got Scott Summers to be a badass again.
Yeah, he has his moments. But that is my 3 picks for the week. So check him out. We always talk about, make sure you guys get over to your local comic book shop, support your local group company, or your local shops. We here at Heroes of Silence tell you guys to get out to Acme Comics and join them.
Yeah, support the local artists out there, man. They make a lot of good content, especially the indie comics. I'm always a big fan of the indie comics, and I picked up a couple. I'm going to do a review on the White Widow. I'm almost done reading that, so that'll be done next week. I'll be done with that. So support your local comic book stores. like and share the page as always. And as always, get to us at Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We're always there to relive stories, share stories. Let's get along with each other. DC and Marvel fans, we have to love each other. Get along.
Love each other. That's right.
No, make sure you guys love each other.
Make sure you guys do check out the website, heroesasylum.com. We'll get you links to all those places.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, hopefully you guys have a great week. We will see you next week. Make sure you guys do check out tonight or Monday night, Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
Final trailer, man. It's coming.
All right, folks. Have a good week. See ya.
Get to the asylum. Peace.